Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This afternoon's show is entitled, Don't Let Unforgiveness Ruin Your Marriage. I'm going to be teaching today from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. And it is important to listen carefully. It is important to suspend one's opinion about what is being taught, because the Holy Spirit of God, excuse me, is our primary teacher. And I want to present the truth of the Word of God in a very simple manner, because this is a highly important subject, that is marriage, your marriage, my marriage. Let me say that, excuse me, I determined at the beginning of, I determined that I wanted to live or to have a marriage that was built on the truth of God's word. And because I am a pastor and because I teach for other groups. For instance, I was on the mental health board in my community for a while, and I do research with regard to spirituality and medicine. I want to have the Word of God as the foundation of all that I do. And I have found over the years that whatever I have read with regard to or studied with regard to my sexual training, nothing has superseded the what I have received from divine revelation. And so, believers, to understand that nothing surpasses the Word of God. And it is imperative that we allow the Word of God to shape our wills. That is the desired end, or excuse me, or the telos of the Word of God, so that the Spirit of God would shape our wills so that we might do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. And it is important before God that I honor my spouse according to his word. And I must do that according to the truth. So let me begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The Greek word here for vanity means nothingness or worthlessness. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or the parousin or the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling, that is, the word here is apathetic, have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That is the fulfillment of the lust patterns. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, verse 22. that you put off. And so we have this very important verb given to us here, that you put off the former conversation or the way of thinking of the old man, the old man. Now, this is a reference to that life that we lived as unbelievers. Paul uses the term old man. In the Greek, it is kaleon anthropon. Kaleon anthropon. And we get our word paleontology from this word, kaleon. Here it means that which is of ancient duration. That which is of ancient duration. So that we put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt, or which is in the process of corruption, according to the deceitful lust. Now, and he goes on. Verse 23, in some versions, reads, and be renewed. It should literally just read, renewed in the spirit of your mind. It is literally to receive a new, or to have a new young mind that never grows old. To have a new young mind that never grows old. This is the word of God. Verse 24, and that you put on, see before, now you put, and that you put on the new man. And it is kainon, anthropon, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, before we get to chapter 5, and Paul talks about marriage and between a man and a woman and the body of Christ and his church, Paul says, this is what we must do. We must put off the old man, the kaleon anthropon, and put on the new man, the kainon anthropon, which is created after God. In righteousness, you and I have been imputed with the righteousness of Christ and true holiness. So notice how the word of God moves, and the word, the Spirit of God is moving Paul toward the the ethical demands of his word by first laying this very powerful doctrinal foundation. And so he goes on. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And how this applies to the marriage relationship. We are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, or the wrath of you. So there are three different words used in the Greek New Testament for anger. We have orge, O-R-G-E. Orge refers to anger as a state of mind. Anger as a state of mind. Then we have thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S. Thumos means the sudden rising of anger, and then it's equally sudden dissipation. So there is a peak, and then the anger is immediately dissipated. It goes down. Then there is this word that Paul uses in verse 26, be angry and sin not. Parorgismo. Parorgismo means to be beside oneself in rage. And notice that there's a semicolon after the word wrath in verse 26. Be you angry and sin not. Be you angry is given in the present imperative. And the word that we have here for wrath, the word wrath before the colon, is the word paroxysmo, to be beside oneself in rage. And then we have verse 27, which reads, neither give place to the devil, or give a topon, or a place where the devil can stand in your life. Now, how does the devil enter into my life? If he is my enemy, and the Bible does tell me that the devil is my enemy, he is literally called the hater. He is called the devil, that is, the one who divides people for no reason. He is called the opposer, and those are just a few of his names. He is also called the great dragon, or the sharp-seeing one. The sharp-seeing one. And Paul will write in Ephesians 6 that we are to put on the armor of God so that we might stand. We might stand in the evil day, because we wrestle not against blood and flesh. Now think about your marriage, and what would happen if I deliberately said something to wound my spouse, and I wanted to do it because I was so displeased by something my spouse had done or said, and I wanted revenge. I wanted to hurt. I wanted to wound. Verse 27 tells me neither give place to the devil. And if I have held on to something in my heart that I have not spoken, I've not talked about this particular thing or event or situation with my spouse, I've held on to it. I wouldn't let it go. I wouldn't talk about it. But I held on to anger as a state of mind. Then all of a sudden, in Thumos, I say something and I release something that I should never have said. And then I deliberately wound my spouse. Now, I may have been wounded by what my spouse did, maybe intentionally or unintentionally. But as a believer, God tells me to let go, that is, to release. The word forgiveness means to release one from a debt that can never be repaid. There are a whole host of medical, spiritual problems that develop from unforgiveness. And one of them, or a few of them, are heart disease, Crohn's, certain types of arthritis, are all associated with a spirit of unforgiveness. Now the good place to the devil. How does the devil enter into my life? Well, one way he can enter into my life is through a wound that will not heal because it has not been appropriately addressed. Beloved, don't let the devil ruin your marriage through unforgiveness. We have a wonderful and faithful high priest who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Who will hear you? Who will forgive you? Go to your spouse. Talk about what you need to discuss. And please, don't go to a secular counselor looking for healing words. Go to your God. Go to a godly Christ counselor who believes the word of God to help you if you two cannot navigate through your particular situation. Your marriage is most precious before God. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.